Damn it. Today. Hello.
Yeah, just don't say that. I'm trying. Oh, here we go. Oh, yes, I'm dancing on the better time. Good morning, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of NDV Media's Sports Talk with the Guys, home of the Monday Morning Quarterbacks on Saturday. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is another glorious, glorious, dare I say, glorious Saturday. I am dancing in my underwear, ladies and gentlemen. I took a shower yesterday. Granted, I didn't do it this morning, but life is good in the hood. Of course, I am the scorekeeper. I don't know what that little feeling is down there, but it's kind of stingy. But hey, I'm waiting for the big dog. Maybe that's my bosom waiting for him to arrive. He's on his way, but so early in the morning, we have him with us from the Great Republic, from Texas. He is on with us this early in the morning. He woke up early. Oh, my God, it's unbelievable. I'm going to see if I can make it happen because he is the man. And you can tell I'm stalling because it's just not going to happen this early. Oh, wait.
Don't worry
about
this.
Anyway, I'm going to go to the big dog real quick. Hold on, I'm going to the big dog. Hey, big dog, what you doing?
I'm racing to get over there. I'm at the 60 and...
Going.
I'm at the 60 and 71.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
Yeah, and I'm a ways away. Don't worry. I'll be there.
Yeah, we'll see you at about 7 o'clock, baby.
And of course, you said, you know, you have, of course, the couch potato from the Great Republic of Texas, of course, emanating from stately, sunny manner.
Here it is.
Oh, good morning, gentlemen. How are you doing?
Just fine. How are you, Sonny?
I'm awake. I'm
awake. Potatoes in the house this morning. Oh, yeah, he is the hardest working man in sports. Could you feel the emotion this morning?
Hey, my heart is pumping. That's beautiful.
Oh, my Lord, my heart is pumping, and it's because I can barely wake up.
So what got you so up late last night?
I'm sorry?
What got you up so late last night?
What kept you awake? What kept me awake? I don't know why, Sonny. There's a reason for this, right?
No. You seem to be really happy this morning, and I thought maybe something happened last night to get you know.
Oh no.
keep you.
Mr. Sonny Clark, I wish, but I think I need a prescription. You know, I'm trying to go up to my doc. I'm trying to shake him down for some Viagra, but apparently he's like, no, dude, you're mentally sick. You're physically sick, but you're not Viagra sick.
You might need some testosterone. Maybe that's it.
Oh, well, I've got the Pro-Air. Yeah, it's
Hold
steroids.
On.
So, it's an inhaler, the albuterol sulfate. So I believe that's a steroid. So as I take it, which I'm taking it right now, I am for Barry Bonds going into the Hall of Fame. If I take steroids, he can take steroids.
Well, it's for medical. It's for medical. Go ahead, Big Dog. I think he's been trying to interject there for the last minute or two.
I don't give a damn. Interject. He's not going to happen.
I was just going to say that if he needed any steroids, he could just talk to A-Roy, you know, his Yankee buddy.
There you go.
You can just go to hell there, Big Dog. I miss you. I miss you, pal. I really do. I do.
You guys
Ladies and gentlemen, did you notice the uncomfortable silence? Both of them really did not know which one I was talking to.
Oh, I knew you were talking to me.
Yeah, but you didn't answer, Blockhead. Ladies and gentlemen, we've had a great day, and I'm glad the Couch Potato is with us. I'm really excited. I want to thank everyone. For those of you that know and do not know, the Daily 15 returned yesterday.
Oh, damn. So, I missed it.
Yes, the Daily 15 returned yesterday, and I am damn proud of the episode. The Commodore was in full form, full season form. You know, we had a nine-month respite, and we went into it, and we just, the pitch swung on his dick. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not a question of whether it is. It's a question of how far. It's gone out of the park. Oh, yes, ladies and gentlemen, it was a blast yesterday, dare I say. Yeah, do you like the analogy? You know, the home run, the blast, yeah. And we had a blast. It was beautiful. The Daily 15 here on NDB Media, oh, my God, it was a lot of fun. And along those lines, ladies and gentlemen, we're not going to have the word of the day. We are going to have the question of the day. So along the lines of the Daily 15, I'm going to ask everyone, this is what you need to do. You need to ask this question of the opposite sex. And if you get slapped, you are asking it correctly. The question is, Yedis, go ahead. You are. Once again, allow me to repeat. Yedis, go ahead. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. If you get slapped from the opposite sex, you are asking it correctly. Now, if you ask it of your significant other and you don't get slapped, you may think, more fuck with the guys, home of the Monday Morning Quarterbacks on Saturday.
Or you can thank for the fact they just don't speak Spanish. So.
Honey, would you please say, it's a question, ¿quieres coger? Will you please say that one?
Say it again, ¿quieres coger?
Oh my God, you're almost right on there, Sonny. Yes, ¿quieres coger?
Quieres coger.
No, it's quieres. That's with the Q. Quieres, you know, it's querer, you know, to want. Quieres coger.
Okay.
Go ahead. It's all right, Sonny. One more time. Quieres coger. You said it right the first time.
Quieres coger.
Oh, well, yeah, it's close enough, Sonny. If you get slapped, that means it's a good thing. I don't think your wife will slap you, though, if you actually after that.
She don't know Spanish, so she wouldn't
big dog.
Attack me.
Yeah. I dare you ask anyone, especially at the gas station of 7-Eleven, when you arrive here, tell them, hey, I'm listening to Sports Talk with the guys, and the question of the day is, can us go ahead? So I'm asking you that. So, hey, you never know. Yeah, well, anyway. Ladies and gentlemen, we've wasted enough time with the inanities and stupidities of the scorekeeper this morning. And I just want to tell you, it was glorious, glorious, glorious. Now, also, I was on Tanya Mercado's program yesterday, Raise Your Glass, and she was talking about weight issues for women. But ladies and gentlemen, I was so happy. I sent a priority one APB to the big dog saying, Tanya and Shy are talking about boobs. You need to get on the program now.
I must have been on my way to the arena yesterday. Damn, I missed that one.
Yeah, they were talking about boobs. And, oh, my goodness, it was glorious. I mean, big dog, it was a flash priority message. Flash, you know, flash priority. Not just priority message. It was flash traffic from the commander-in-chief, big dog. And he just blew me off, Sonny. Blew me off.
I would have known it. I might have called in.
I was at the movies.
Yeah, but having Tanya and Shy talking about boobs and butts, you were much happier being at the movies? Tell me right now. Knowing that?
Unless you send me a text message, I don't get flash messages on my phone. I don't have push messages for Facebook on my phone. But then I'd be lighting up all the time. So,
yeah, all right, whatever. Okay. All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, raise your glass. We're talking about some women issues. And when you hear women flat out talking about them, their sizes, what's good, what's bad, it's the stuff that, dare I say, not what dreams are made of, but that torrential floods are made of. So there you go.
There's one for the archives.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Well,
so,
Scorekeeper, since you listened to it, what are some of the things they like and what are some of the things they don't like, if you remember off the top of your head?
Off the top of my head. Let me clarify that. What I'm thinking... Oh, no, no. There was no real mention of D-cups. I mean, when they were talking about their sizes, all I could say was, thank God, I am very happy with my size that my wife has, and I'm not going to brag about it because those ladies will never talk to me again. That's okay.
That's one you better download before it gets lost in electronic oblivion.
Yeah, no kidding, with all the problems we've had lately with Blog Talk Radio.
Wow.
Yeah, I've actually threatened Blog Talk Radio of leaving, and they don't give a damn.
No, they don't care about you.
Yeah, I am a customer. They're not trying. I have lost hosts because of them. Ladies and gentlemen, you know NDB Media was a plethora of okay, forget it. There were a lot of people on NDB Media, and because of all the issues that Blog Talk Radio has given us over the months now, I've been losing hosts because people are just, you know what, it's a lot of work. But knowing that BTR is always screwing around, that's not worth it anymore. In the last 2 months, I've lost two more hosts, and I was about to lose one of the biggest names in the sports world, and it doesn't matter to them. It's amazing. I mean, you know, ladies and gentlemen, people don't realize that Dan Schlossberg is on the radio. This is an author of over 20 books. He's huge in the travel industry, in sports, and he's on NDB Media every Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific time doing Travelers Radio. He also does another one, Braves Banter, and he's about had it because he's a perfectionist, and rightfully so. He does a great product, and Blog Talk Radio is just doesn't give a damn. So let me tell you, Blog Talk Radio, we are actively searching for an internet site because you guys don't really give a damn. So, all right, sorry. I didn't get that off my chest. Let's get back to sports. Speaking of not giving a damn, looks like the Raiders got the acknowledgement for the NFL draft. I guess they were told that they dropped it badly, huh?
Yeah, big surprise.
Yeah.
Big surprise. They had a horrible draft. I mean, but you know, it's right along Raider tradition. That's what the Raiders do. So, you know, for them to mess up, that's not any great big surprise at all.
Yeah, you know, ladies and gentlemen, it's not the third time the charm, but it's possibly the fourth time. It looks like the Raiders are actually going to get a little bit of love on this pick. I understand that their fourth pick overall, the 112th overall, Tyler Wilson, this guy, the quarterback from Arkansas, this guy actually has talent, and down the road you never know. And it's going to be interesting to see. Don't be surprised if Wilson become Oakland's franchise quarterback. He's entered the draft 2 years ago. He would have been a first-round pick. Wilson is tough as nails and the arm to make all the throws. But, of course, you all know he got torpedoed by Arkansas' disastrous 2012 season. So the Raiders overall, USA Today Sports Weekly gave him a C-, which is much higher than my grade point average. So, ladies and gentlemen, kudos to the Raiders. Just keep winning, baby. Otherwise, I'm not going to waste my time talking about the other drafts because they suck.
Well, you know, they didn't. You know, the players they drafted were okay. It's just where they drafted them. That's why they get the C-, I imagine. I was going to say C. They could have maybe traded out if that's the guy they wanted in the first round, you know. They could have traded out of it and moved down. But in typical Raider fashion, they just don't have a clue.
Hey, Big Dog, do you have an analogy for what the couch potato said about our beloved Raiders? Because I have one.
Not an analogy, but, you know, it's same in every year. So year in, year out, they I don't know, they're lost. Their upper management, they need a clean house or something. We thought there were going to be changes made when Al Davis passed, but the tradition lives on. So I really don't know what to say about the Raiders. They're a lost cause right now.
Well, before I bring Brian on this morning, I do want to thank everyone. But look, the reality is, Sonny, based on what you said, you're kind of like equating it to the guy that picks a hooker and says, let's go to the Five and Dime over there and get it on as opposed to the Ritz-Carlton. So that's what you're saying. It's where they found them, where they drafted them, and how they went about it. So
well,
the Raiders
well, more than the fact that
the
you're
hooker,
keeping it, to keep it on your analogy there, scorekeeper.
Actually, it might not even be an analogy. It might be the euphemism.
Okay. But the euphemism is finding the hooker, but paying too much for her in reality. That's basically what it is, you know, as far as the analogy is. And I heard Bri's little giggle. Good morning, Bri.
Good morning, guys.
Yeah, good morning, Bri. How you doing?
I have a question. Were you guys talking about Blog Talk Radio? Because I was listening to you talk about Blog Talk Radio, and I call in seconds later, and you're talking about the Raiders. So was that the first part of your show, or what?
Oh, you're I think the first part was my dislike
and
trust and unhappiness with Blog Talk Radio right now.
I've expressed that all week. I've had so many problems. Wednesday night we had a show, and, I mean, it was the worst show you could possibly ever hear. Go back and listen to it.
We cut out for five minutes. Yeah.
5 minutes at a time we disappeared, people said, and I called them, and they didn't give a shit. And so I told them, you know, like Roger said, I'm gonna go up the chain a little bit and quit talking to these people that answer the phone. And actually either do that or they're going to do something or I'm leaving too. I'm not going to, every show I've had for the last month has had technical difficulties.
And ladies and gentlemen, this is how funny Blog Talk Radio is or how stupid. And I called and I emailed them again. I emailed them saying, guys, you are causing me to lose hosts. I've lost 2 more hosts in the month of April. And I'm very unhappy. So I fill out the email. And then just before you send the email, it comes up with, oh, could this resolve your problem in order of importance? And the very first one says, how to cancel your membership.
Are you serious?
Oh, my God. I said send because none of them applied, and I emailed again. And I said, are you telling me to cancel my membership? Is that what you want me to do? You know, I told them, I put $100 into your pockets every month on 3 channels, and you're telling me to cancel?
I would save that. I would save that email, and I would take it up to the top.
Oh, I did. I called them back, and I said, okay, just make it so, guys. Just be, you know, tell me. Tell me you want me to take my money somewhere else. Because I am about as loyal as they come when it comes to Blog Talk Radio. And the first option for me was, do you wish to cancel? I'm like, oh, my Lord. Anyway, speaking of wanting to cancel, the Raiders draft. But yeah, I'm not going to spend time over there. It's done. Hey, Big Dog,
sorry. I just had to throw my 2 cents in, too. I'm very unhappy right now.
Oh, no, Brian. Maybe you and I should start doing programs on soliciting input from all the other hosts saying, come on, tell us what's going on, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go on prime time. Let's do this.
No, this is what you need to do. Set up a show called Blog Talk Radio Bitching and send it and see if you can get it featured.
Yeah. That's a hell of an idea. That's a great idea. I want it staff picked. I want it everything.
Sonny Clark, I'm going to do that right now on NDB Media. I think I'm going to probably do it on Manic Monday or something. I don't know, but it's all good. Ladies and gentlemen, I do want to welcome everyone that's both live and in the archive, everyone that's in the chat room. We are thankful for everyone that is listening. I'm just shocked. The numbers continue to drive, and I'm very humbled, very humbled. So, last time that we talked sports, Big Dog, we actually got a good audience.
Yeah. Hey, scorekeeper, guess where I'm at?
You're outside.
Not quite.
Where are you?
You're on. I'm just passing Garfield.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, my Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, the Big Dog, I'm not even, all right. You heard when we started the program saying where he was, and now we're, I'm not even going to do the math, dude. I mean, this guy just traveled about, I'm not going to say it. All right, fine. This guy just traveled about 35 miles, maybe even 40 miles, in under 20 minutes.
Well, no, see, what happened was before, since I knew I was running, so I was, you're going to love this one. Since I was running so late, you know, I gave a call to Scotty, and I said I needed a little bit more in my engine. And I mentioned your name, and since you're a Trekkie, they gave me all the power they could.
Damn it, Jim. I need more power.
Big Dog, I appreciate the rough endeavor to indelibly make your mark. I'll give you that. It was a nice attempt.
I love you, brother. I really do. So, yeah, whatever.
Okay, let's go on, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes?
Never mind. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead, Big Dog.
No, not yet.
Oh,
well, I want my green eggs and ham.
We'll wait till I get there, because I just have one comment. This is a little preview to what I'm going to be having to say.
I know what he's going to say.
When I get there. But here is a little preview of what I'm going to be saying, my little rant that I'm going to go. Not really a rant. It's going to be just personal. But here's the preview of it.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, yes, the haters are out. I caught some of that early this morning. Ladies and gentlemen, yes, Sonny Clark, we're going to get to it. He is truly minutes away. He is about, based on where he told me, that's like a 4-minute trip. So he's like right around the corner. So
well,
now
I'm getting on a 710 now.
Okay, well, I mean, as soon as the Big Dog gets here, I'm going to have to make the coffee, so it's all good.
All good in the hood.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have some NBA news shortly. The haters are out and roll. I'm not sure if you guys saw my Facebook page. Did you guys see my Facebook page? It shows Han Solo. And it says, hey, I shot first. The haters are always going to hate, dude. You know why that is, right, Sonny, about Han Solo and all the crap about him in the original Star Wars now? Are you familiar with that?
I'm actually familiar with that, which is quite surprising for me.
I wonder if Bri is familiar with it. Do you know what the whole thing about Han Solo and I Shot First reply is?
No.
Well, in the original version of Star Wars, Greedo has pulled a gun on Han Solo, and Han Solo is being cool and calm, trying to distract him, and releases his blaster underneath from his holster and just shoots him in the gonad. Sounds great. Well, George Lucas has done some sort of revision where apparently before Han Solo shoots, Greedo shot at him, and it was an errant shot up in the air, and then Han Solo takes him out. And I just don't understand why that happened. No one does. So in the new remanufactured alternate vision universe of George Lucas, Greedo actually shoots first, knowing that he's holding the guns directly at him.
I actually noticed that, which scares me.
Yeah, so no, Han Solo shot first in the correct universe. So we're going to have a lot of stuff to go over, ladies and gentlemen. We're not really going to touch upon the draft, unless we really want to make fun of some stuff. But, hey.
Well, actually, on the draft, I do want to mention one thing that I was reading. Of course, as we all know, the Jets drafted Geno Smith in the second round, and already there's problems with him. Evidently, at the Combine, when they did their interviews, they said that he acted very aloof and a nonchalant attitude. Now, as you all know, when you do your interviews, it's pretty much like getting a job interview, because you're interviewing to see if this team wants to hire you and pay you millions of dollars. And evidently, Geno Smith kind of blew everyone off. He was sitting there and was more worried about his Twitter and Facebook accounts, that during the interviews, he was actually on his phone typing away while they were talking to him. And now they won't say which team, but there is a particular team that was interested in him that called him a spoiled little brat, and his antics that were pretty much turned the team off. And, of course, he has made a big old thing, because now it's coming out that when they did the draft, and as he was slipping further and further down the first round, and, of course, he got drafted in the second, as he was slipping down the first round, he was getting angrier and angrier, and he actually told the NFL, if I don't get drafted in the first round, I'm leaving. And the NFL probably pretty much, I go, do whatever you want. So when he slipped, of course, into the second round, he was so angry that he ends up firing his agent over the fact that he screwed up, even though he's blaming the agent on this one. So the fact that he's going to be in the number one media center pretty much in the world, New York City, he's not going to fare very well, because every little thing is going to be magnified by a thousand.
He reminds me of Ryan Leaf there, big dog.
Yeah, he does.
Those are the first words or the first thoughts that came to mind. Ladies and gentlemen, as God is my witness, NDV Media will be following Ryan Leaf Part 2.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Brian. Oh, we lost Brian. I guess we were talking about the Jets. He's like, I'm out. Anyway, we'll probably get Brian.
I don't blame him about that.
Where the hell is Cuervo? I'm looking and
Cuervo's
following.
Working.
Oh, okay, whatever. That's
all right. Cuervo's working, and because he wanted to do a show today, but we're set up for IFL action tonight. We're actually featured yet again. Thank you, Blog Talk Radio. I'll give him a little props for at least trying to promote. Yeah, bullshit. that hurt. Sorry. But we're going to be online doing IFL. We did the IFL. Hey, did you get my messages last night?
I did this morning. Thank you, sir. And I have to listen in because Sonny Clark is, well, will you please tell us the news of what they've got you doing, Sonny?
Well, they finally got the equipment figured out as far as what they were going to do. The America One, which is the primary video, I guess, or live video of the IFL, they actually took they set me up. I still had my regular setup for Blog Talk Radio, but they also set me up to go into America One. So I was simulcasting the Couch Potato Sports Show on the America One last night. So the first they did the pregame show. They had that finally set up, but at that point they somehow muted me for about 7 minutes or so, and then they finally got me on and we did the simulcast there on America One. So it was actually kind of cool because, you know, what I do is I try to set up the Blog Talk Radio. I'll download the episode that we did on Blog Talk Radio, then bring up America One and try to set it up and watch how the call I made was with it. And that's always kind of difficult because of sometimes with Blog Talk Radio and the problems that they had. So I actually got to see what I called. So it made it's really interesting. That's why I was up late last night. I was watching that. And I had a pretty darn good call last night, probably one of the better ones in a while. It's over on America One that they're putting us through. So, and the problem, you know what, just I wish there was a way that I could get you on and do the recaps of the play and have you on this color, but there's no way of setting that up in order to get that done, which is kind of a bummer.
It is a bummer, Sonny, but I do appreciate that. It's all good. Ladies and gentlemen, did you notice that he switched me from color commentator to recap, which is, I don't know if he's being truly insensitive or he's being overly sensitive.
No, you didn't hear me.
Or,
you didn't
I'm sorry.
Hear, you, your brain went right to it. I said, do the recap, and then I said, and do the color. You didn't hear the and do the color.
Oh, I didn't hear the racist slur. I'm sorry, Sonny. Okay, but I was trying to get...
damned if you do, damned if you don't. Love it.
That's right, Sonny. So, ladies and gentlemen, I love the couch potato because he still got the slur in there. And
that's right.
I'm done. I'm thankful. Thank you,
the racist
guy. Hey, Big Dog, where are you? Hey, Big Dog, where are you?
Just passing Washington and Abbott.
Oh, so you're right there. Hey, that took you a long... Did you stop at 7-Eleven?
No, there was a stupid car that was doing 65 miles an hour. What the hell are they doing, the speed limit? Get out of the way.
Boy, you wouldn't want to be behind me, Big Dog. I am that atypical guy that does the speed limit that everybody hates. And I know...
Well, you know what? Well, see, you know what? No, I'll take it back. I don't mind if you do the speed limit, but not in the fast lane. The fast lane is for people that go fast. You know, I was in the fast lane, the guy's doing 65. That, I have a problem with that. Get out of the way. Lower traffic, keep to the right.
Did you know the speed limit is the same in the fast lane, quote unquote, fast lane that it is in the right lane? Did you know that?
No, it's not.
Not in LA.
You didn't know there's a little unwritten rule there, you know, because, you know, it's like baseball. There's unwritten rules.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the slow lane is 65, and as you go left, each lane you can increase by 5 miles an hour.
See, yes, that's a wonderful unwritten rule, and scorekeeper hates that. I already know that.
I'm going to take a phrase from The Rock. Sonny will like this one. And a little advice to the millions and millions that are listening to us.
Yeah.
If you ever get stopped by a peace officer anywhere, and they ask you what you were doing, you say you were going with the flow of traffic. You are allowed to speed if you're going with the flow of traffic. Of course.
Yeah, big dog.
Of course.
It's kind of sad, one person on the freeway.
Well, no, I was going to say it's kind of hard that if you're telling them you're going with the flow of traffic when you're leading the pack. It's kind of hard that way.
And when you get pulled over and on the radio, it's leader of the pack.
Ladies and gentlemen, while the time I was out trying to recover from my situation, it was interesting where one time I was, and I'll fully admit this, I'm doing 90 in the fast lane, and all of a sudden, you know, people in the lanes next to me are passing me up, and I'm like, oh, my God, I got to get out of here.
That scares me.
Yeah. I was like, all right, I'm out. And I had to get out of the fast lane because people were just going clearly faster. And I don't remember where I was, but, it was sad. But, hey, well, the Big Dog is literally right around the corner, dare I say, ladies and gentlemen. So he'll be here in just a little bit. You guys know that the Yankees continue to win, so I'm happy. But, hey, it's okay. Life is good in the hood. Apparently, Major League Baseball is rating, the USA Today Sports Weekly is rating the teams in this order in its power report. And, you know, they're oh, my God, he just walked in. That means I don't have to stall anymore, Sonny.
I could have.
Big Dog here. iPhone 5. Hey,
did he bring his dolly in with all of his notes?
Sonny, right now the Big Dog walked in, and I noticed his earpiece. I said, just like mine, and then he said something to the effect of, no, that mine is like his.
That's right.
And I was talking about the earpiece. I was not talking about anything else. The clarity here, Sonny, is frightening. while Big Dog gets set up right now, do you want to come?
Man, a bit.
Well, I'm going to have to make it now because we're a minute. So why don't both of you kids take over, and I shall be right back.
So he's going to go make the cup of Joes.
Yeah, I'm the piatch this morning. What did he do this morning? You're just
Desperate for services.
Oh, Lord. Unbelievable.
So, Sonny, what do you think about, I hear the IFL, well, you know what, actually, there are other football, indoor football leagues other than the IFL, correct?
There are, yes.
Okay, because I read that one of the indoor football leagues, I'm not sure if it was IFL or one of the others, already offered Mr. Tebow a job.
Oh, actually.
And offered him the glorious amount of $75 a game.
No, well, it's funny you happen to mention that, Big Dog, because there's a team in the IFL happened to be the team that I could do the play-by-play for. The Texas Revolution has offered out Tim Tebow a contract for $250 plus a $25 win fee. So,
woohoo!
Yeah. It's kind of funny. I was talking to the head coach of the football team, and he said, "You know, $75. That's insulting. Hey, we can offer $225." So they did. They offered $225. You know, believe me, the Texas Revolution are under no, They're not blind to the fact that that's never going to happen. but you know what? It was more of a in case people don't know about the IFL. The IFL actually has an open prayer before each and every game. I find that very interesting in reality. So they have an open prayer where the team pastor will get up on the microphone. They'll have an open prayer, and I found that very interesting. And the Texas Revolution have never been shy about their beliefs. So, they're in this area because a higher power wants them to be in this area. They've never shied away from that in reality. Faith-based, Tommy Benizio and the Champion Sports Group, it is. It's all about their faith, and they really want Tim Tebow. They're not under any illusions. They know they're not going to get him. But if they ever did land him, you got to at least give him the opportunity to say no to the offer. So it is more about the faith and reality to try to bring a Tim Tebow to the Texas Revolution.
Yeah, and of course on the flip side, and the reason why we brought this up, guys, of course Tim Tebow was released earlier this week. No surprise, we knew it was going to happen, and we're waiting for the other shoe to drop in the name of Mark Sanchez. But he says he's going to be competing for the job. We'll have to wait and see on that one. But it's interesting that Warren Moon, the Hall of Famer, said that the CFL, the Canadian Football League, is not going. It would not be a good place for Tim Tebow to go. And I thought it was very funny because he was very frank about it, saying, in the Canadian Football League, you have to be able to throw the ball. And he says that Tim Tebow does not have the arm to make it in the CFL because since they only the way they do it, they only have three downs instead of four.
Yep.
So moving the ball down the field is very, very important up there. And he said that that the Canadian Football League would not be a place for him to hone his skills, so to speak, since Warren Moon says that he does not have the skills to hone.
I think I agree with them to one point, and I'm going to disagree with another. I watched the Canadian Football League. And I'm going to tell you, and the reason why I watched it, but because I know more of the players now. A lot of players from the IFL actually make it up into the Canadian League. So I actually watched the Canadian Football League. I agree to them with them to a certain point. Tim Tebow is not going to throw the ball 50, 60 yards down the field like they do a lot in the CFL. But Tim Tebow, you keep it within 40 yards and in, Tim Tebow is a very accurate quarterback in reality. So if they plan around it, you know, and keep the defense honest by going deep every once in a while, they have an opportunity to actually have success. Doug Flutie is one of these guys, and I'm not going to compare him because Doug Flutie had a cannon. But
that's exactly right. Yeah.
Just bite me 9 inches, that's all.
Exactly. He had a cannon. The difference between those two guys, though, is that even though Doug Flutie had the cannon, and that was a different era. Believe it or not, this is a new era in Canadian football as well. Because they're grabbing up a lot of indoor football league players and quarterbacks, guess what? They are more in depth to changing how their offense actually plays on a down-to-down basis. Yes, there's only three downs in the Canadian Football League, so it definitely adds a little dimension to the game. So I think Tim Tebow actually could do well in the Canadian Football League. He's going to have to throw the ball deep a couple of times, definitely, to keep the defense honest, but I think he'd have tremendous success up there.
I didn't know it was a three-down league, Sonny.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Warren Moon came out saying that...
I get another down?
He doesn't have the arm to make it in the Canadian Football League. He said because along with himself and, of course, Doug Flutie and he said Jeff Garcia, you know,
mm-hmm.
that went there and became better quarterbacks. He says, unfortunately, he said Tebow does not have the arm to make it there. You know, he said you have to be able to throw it down 40, 50, 60 yards if you need to. And we all know Tim Tebow doesn't. In fact, when Tim Tebow was let go, he was the fifth worst percentage quarterback over the last 30 years with a completion rate of less than 48% with a minimum of 300 attempts in his first three seasons. He had a completion of 47.9%.
47? Oh, my God, there must have been some sort of Star Trek temporal incursion.
Only Bobby Brister, Steve Berline, which surprised me.
Steve Berline
was the second worst percentage quarterback.
Oh,
yes.
Well,
say it.
Well, when he played for the Panthers, the Panthers definitely helped that number.
Yes, they did.
Because Berline, when he was the backup quarterback, I'm going to tell you right now, he was the epitome of what a backup quarterback was. That Steve Berline was a very good football. I like Steve Berline. I wish he would have had an opportunity to start at for a different football team besides the Panthers.
Yeah. Well, and you know the interesting thing about the IFL one. That he got the indoor football league it was that offered it to him, the $75.
PPIFL.
It was an offer for, as I said, $75 a week to compete for the backup position. It wasn't even for the starting quarterback. They said he would be the backup, and he would have the opportunity to try out to see if he could win the backup position.
I'm going to throw this out here, okay, as a guy that knows the IFL probably better than anybody up on the radio, okay?
You are right, Sonny Clark. You are right.
That I'm going to tell you straight out that sounds wonderful, but to play quarterback in the IFL, it is a totally different game. They always say, well, it's football. Football is football. But when you're talking the IFL, you're talking different kind of windows. You got to remember, the field's only 50 yards long and only 28 yards wide. So the windows in the IFL are so much smaller. I was watching last night. It's a classic example. Our quarterback for the Texas Revolution was trying to thread a needle that you would never thread that kind of needle in the NFL because that just spells disaster. But the fact that the windows are so small in the league, you got to find the opening where you can, and they throw the ball like a rocket. It's unbelievable. Marcus Jackson last night threw two passes that I was watching. I'm like, oh my God, I cannot believe that he threw it. But if you watch it in slow motion on the replay and slow it down, you'll go, well, you know, that was actually – you don't make that pass in the NFL. So they're totally different, at least at the quarterback position. It definitely does help to move up into the NFL, but not every NFL player or even for how that matters, you could be one of the best college quarterbacks that, you know, to come out, and you still couldn't play in this type of league. So – It's a tough league for quarterbacks in reality.
Okay. Good to hear. Yeah, I appreciate that, Sonny. There's no doubt about that. It is. I've been able to see it quite a bit because of Sonny. I'm sorry. Because of Sonny, I've had the opportunity to follow it and call the games with him. Oh, my goodness. It is football, Sonny, in its purest form, but you cannot compare.
Nope.
And everything you said is right on, and it's absolutely awesome. Look, those guys hit hard. They hit hard, and by the way, they hit hard. But you're looking at eight-man teams. Eight-man teams, the change of the dynamic, the field is smaller, the dasher boards are dangerous, you know, and it's, let me tell you, it's a whole different game.
The dasher boards are dangerous?
Yeah, when you go into the dasher board.
What about Prancer? Is he dangerous too?
Dasher, Prancer. Hey, you know what? Booby is good. They are.
Oh,
have you noticed all the girls?
Are we talking about the
Indoor Football League.
Well, no, I thought we were talking about the LFL now, when you said, you know,
movies.
Oh, fair
enough. Well, the LFL, that's funny you mentioned that there, Big Doug, because the LFL, the Legends Football League, formerly the Lingerie Football League, offered out a contract to Tim Tebow as well to be their national quarterback coach. In other words, he'd hop a plane and go to different cities and train the quarterbacks of these football teams. So they offered him out. I don't know what they were going to pay him to do that, but that's another thing that Tim Tebow got the offer on.
See, you know, and that's a smart thing because as religious as he is, he would actually only teach them football stuff and not actually try anything else. Because
there's different schemes and everything as a quarterback. So, yeah.
Yeah, you're right, Big Dog. If I were the quarterback coach there, I would always be talking about scoring. There's no doubt about that.
Well, you know, I would pretend to be the center and say, okay, get your hands under there. We'll learn how to pass that ball right correctly.
No, didn't do it right.
Yeah, do it again.
Do it again.
Put the hands in deeper.
Now, how many times do I got to teach you this?
You have been a bad girl, let me tell you. We're going to have to do that again.
Talk about hands-on training.
Oh, you dog. Oh, very good, Sonny Clark. Very good.
Of course, being a quarterback coach, of course, you know, he'd have to try out the tight ends.
There was nothing to say. There was nothing to say. The Big Dog is armed and dangerous now.
Yeah, I mean, geez, he gets traveling 80 miles an hour, and he comes into work there pumped up.
No, Sonny, the slow lane was going 80 miles an hour this morning.
Yeah, I know, yeah, there you go.
The Big Dog was driving in excess of 90 miles an hour.
I was not.
You are 57 miles away.
I am 50 miles away.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're 50 miles away. All right, do the math, ladies and gentlemen.
You want to know something else?
50 miles away.
You want to know something else?
Yes.
I stopped for gas.
Oh, you son of a gun.
I was out of gas. I had to put gas.
Guys, he was at the 71 and the 60. Look it up on Google. He was at the 71 and... Oh, okay, well, that makes a little bit of a difference. But no. He was at the 71 and the 60 at 6 o'clock. And then,
it was like 6:07.
No, BS. At 6 o'clock, he was at the 71 to 60, and then he was at 6:20. He was at Garfield Avenue in the 105.
I did 80. A couple of times I scooted over 85. I mean, excuse me.
Scooted over!
But then I put it back down because I don't like going over 80 on the freeways here because I can't catch the cops as fast as I used to. I usually keep it about 80, but nevertheless, speaking of fat people.
Hey,
Alvarez. Well,
yeah, he's in there.
Hey, Matt, what's up?
What's up, Matt?
He's in there.
I like that Matt Alvarez. Hey. It's Matt. I like that. Very good.
There. Look, it says, hey. Speaking of. Oh, yeah. Speaking of fat people, did you guys hear about Michael Vick?
Oh, yeah. The brouhaha.
Michael Bitch?
Yeah.
Michael Bitch?
Hold on. Well, no. Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Bitch on Twitter. Not that at all.
You guys might have other stuff, but...
No, he was insulting the other guy. Well, the other guy was insulting him.
Oh, okay. All right, go ahead.
It, of course, was LeSean McCoy had been calling him an old man for about a week and kept challenging him to a race.
Oh, that's right.
And Vic was like, no, you know, no, no, laughed it off until he kept on going. So finally, you know, just like anybody, you know, that you keep on poking the bear's finally going to poke back. So Michael Vick said, okay, fine, let's have that 40-yard dash. Make it clear with the coach. Coach said, no problem. Go ahead. I said they asked Coach Chip Kelly whether he would allow the two to race, and the coach granted them permission. So 40-year-old Michael Vick raced 24-year-old LeSean McCoy, and he smoked them. And all the other players, a lot of the linebackers and stuff were tweeting. It was just they tweeting all over the place the fact that that Michael Vick, being 40 years old, smoked him. Of course, LeSean McCoy tried to save face by saying Michael Vick cheated, you know, as a joke. But what he did say was that Michael Vick is probably the third fastest player on the team. So, for being 40 years old and being the quarterback, that's not bad. So, hats off to you, Michael Vick, showing that people that are 40 and over still got what it takes.
Yes, Michael Vick, I do appreciate that. But seeing you...
Oh, I know why he was running so fast.
Yeah.
He's not one of those tacos that
fast. That's right. Oh, God, son of a... Oh, you beat me to it. I was saying, thank you, Michael Vick, for giving us an insight into what your nightmares are every time you see a dog.
No, what happened was right before...
Actually, he's running for the PETA people.
No, what it was is right before the they said, you know, that either they shot the gun or they said, you know, go... Yeah, someone was like... He was like, oh, shit!
That's wrong. That's just raw.
Wait a minute, Sonny. That's just wrong. You're not the coach, Sonny. These are the armchair quarterbacks, Sonny.
Well, he can't catch a break. He's been actually a very good boy.
Yes, he has been. He's been very good.
Oh, he's a very good boy. Yes. Come here.
Boy, did I just leave that one open for you, scorekeeper. Sometimes the telepathic energy that we have is unbelievable.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the connection that we have is unbelievable. Sonny was actually
beautiful.
Being he was being a good boy, and I'm like, oh, I had to go with that one.
Well, I set you up for that one.
Oh, so you deliberately did so.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. We're right on. We're so on you didn't even know it.
Now, of course, if you're talking about insensitive, and we are in the NFL.
I'm not talking about my inside source here.
We are going to go to another team that's supposedly insensitive. Raiders! No, the Redskins. As people once again are bitching.
About
the name. That they don't like the Redskins. Well, they took a poll. And the poll said, it's fine. They said, keep it.
Yes.
Oh,
so,
but you know what? They didn't poll enough, you know, what do they want to be called? Native Americans. They didn't poll enough Native Americans to find out if they are really offended. You know what? You know, sometimes you're just going to be what you are, okay? All right? And how you title it doesn't... It doesn't matter. You know, if you're offended by, you know, being called a Redskin and you happen to be Native American, get over it. You know what? I've been called Cracker so many times, I'm just kind of used to it now. So just get over it.
Actually, Sonny, in all the things that I've called you, and I pretty much have called you everything, I would never call you a Cracker. I would call you more like a dumpling. I really would.
No, I want to be a Ritz.
Oh, you're funny. I want to be a Ritz.
I want to be that little buttery taste guy, you know?
Yeah.
That's me.
Oh, the couch potato estate, or how is it? Oh, no, the Clark estate? You are the Ritz, dude.
Yeah.
Putting on the Ritz.
I'm putting on the Ritz. That's right.
Your song, putting on the Ritz.
Now, do you know the name they want them to change it to? Did you hear what that one was?
White Trash?
No, they wanted to change it from the Redskins to the Red Tails in honor of the...
I'm offended.
Scorekeeper, you say that as a joke, but I think that's even more offensive than
yes,
the Redskins.
I'm offended.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. No, I'm very much offended. Let it go, people. It's over and done with. You got your reservations. You got your casinos. You're giving it to us in the pants anyway. It's over and done with.
Well, the thing is, it's not the Native Americans that are complaining. It's other people that are complaining, saying, oh, well, those are Native Americans. You shouldn't be calling them that. They don't like it. They don't even ask them. They don't care. They're getting their money from the casinos and from the government.
Yeah.
Remember, because if you're Native American, you get money every, I believe it's every quarter.
You know,
I know a couple people are Native American.
Yeah. You know, I know for a
give
fact.
Give me money. You can call me whatever you want.
Yeah. I found out that there's an exam out there, but it costs about $400 or $500 to find out what your percentage is of Native American. And I'm debating taking that because I do have a significant amount of blood in me. My grandfather's grandfather was a chief down in Mexico.
Of
a big truck. Yeah, there's a picture of him that we still have somewhere.
I like to see you on Facebook dancing with the hat. He looks really good.
Hey, Sonny, that's an incredible lookalike, isn't it, Sonny? Isn't it a spitting image of me?
Yes, it is. That was so scary. And let me tell you something. I would have lied because those are some damn good pictures there. I would have lied. Yep, that's me. Yeah, look at that. Dig my hat.
What's up, man?
Yeah, because Sonny has unfortunately seen my profile. So the one guy, or well, him, whatever his blasted name is, when he's in that zoot suit scene and he's looking to the right, even I see it. It's uncanny, man.
Yeah.
That one picture where he's looking to the right, it's like, damn. And
that
Diana, who knows me very well, said, dude, for a hot second, I thought that was
you. But you know what? He's not as good looking as you, though.
Well, you know that cartoon picture of me? That we have, that we put, like, I'm in the IFL locker room,
yeah,
that with the big head on there. That's actually not me. That's
who
not actually, that. I don't know. My brother happened to find this picture online, and he said, my God, that looks exactly like you. And it was just on some obscure website, and it's not me. It's not any picture
not
that I've ever taken.
It.
Huh?
No, see, now, scorekeeper, see, now what this is, he's setting us up for something down the line for later. So when the sex tape comes out, he's going to say, it's not me. Look at that. Was the cartoon character that looked just like me? It's not me.
No,
tape,
it was the guy in the
Zeus.
That's not me. It was the guy in the Zeus. Who is that, by the way? Is that one performer I can't remember the guy I'm thinking of. It's probably not the guy I'm thinking of, is it?
Probably not.
Yeah, good answer, big dog. Yeah, good answer, because both of us shrunk.
Who,
you know the guy
who
in the
is
thing
that?
Where he did that thing in the other thing?
Oh, yeah! I know that. Yeah, you're right. Hey, Matt. Matt, good morning, Matt. The question of the week is, and you need to use this on your program as well. It was on the Daily 15, the Common Erasmus. Matt Alvarez. I don't know.
Well, no, don't assume.
I said, I don't know.
Yeah, but you were Matt Alvarez.
I didn't say Matt Alvarez. I said Matt. Oh, no, they've given me more medication. Why do you want to fill up my medication?
You let me fill up everything else.
And no, you've never felt me up, dude. Never.
Well,
never.
I am definitely going
to
leave that one alone.
That.
No, I can say with all assurances, for all the stuff you've done to me, you've never felt me up.
Not even an accidental feel?
No.
You guys sit awful close in that studio there.
You can go to hell. Anyway, Matt Alvarez, the question of the week is, oh, well, first of all, Matt, you have to use this on your program, and you have to tell the people.
Oh, I paused. The big dog
was acting like he opened up my pill containers and downed them. I'm like, oh, no.
No, I'm out now.
Yeah, I just got these yesterday. Matt Alvarez, the question is, this is what you've got to tell him. Ladies and gentlemen, the question of the week is, and you have to ask the opposite sex. And if you get slapped, you're asking it correctly. And the question is, ¿quieres coger? So, Big Dog, do you want to now tell us what the Commodore asked, ¿quieres coger?
No. I want everybody to still wonder about it.
Everyone needs to ask. So, there you go, Matt. That's the question. If you get slapped, you're asking it correctly.
Say it again.
¿Quieres coger? And what does your iTunes translator tell you?
It's still thinking about it.
Of course, because it doesn't speak Spanish. You've got to be in the Spanish mode.
Well, plus, you need to know how to spell it. You need to spell it.
Yeah, it's got to be in Spanish.
Well, I know. I have the Spanish and English.
Oh, you have that?
Yeah.
Well, it's because there's a lot of ambient noise in the background. Do it one more time. One more time, big dog. Please. Oh, you got to find it out. Like, go to hell.
Here we go.
¿Quieres coger? Okay, here we go. Let's see what it says. You know, Siri, you can go to hell. You ruthless, heartless biatch.
What the hell are you guys doing?
I'm
being stupid.
I had him say that into the iPhone 5 to translate it, but it won't translate.
Oh, got it. iTunes sucks.
You know what, Sonny? It does.
Give me Windows Media any day.
Is that your bot? Oh, my God. I can't believe I just got away with that.
I can't believe you said that.
Yeah. I think Matt's going to be... Look at... It's funny. Look at the chat room. See what Matt reacts to that one. To that last one.
I'm waiting. I'm
right
in the...
Oh, my God. Because remember, there's a 30-second delay. So I know he heard that one. We'll see what he's going to react to, but go ahead, big dog. I'm sorry.
Oh, no,
he might not be in front of the computer, though.
When we switch over to baseball, I want to talk.
You can go back to baseball.
Okay. Well, what do you feel about Clayton Schultz and his little controversy that's going on right now?
Yeah, actually, I did get the report, but I don't know. I understand that someone's talking crap on Twitter or something.
Well, not on Twitter. What it was Jack Morris. Who's now is the Toronto Blue Jays broadcaster, said Thursday that after he watched a video from Wednesday night's game between the Jays and the Red Sox, he came away convinced that Boston pitcher Clay Buchholz was throwing a spitball.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He was spitballing a long time. He said he didn't notice it after Wednesday's broadcast, but he found out because the guy in the video camera showed it to him right after the game, and he said, I didn't see it on the game. He goes, but when they showed it to me, they said, what do you think of this? And I said, well, he's throwing a spitter, because that's what it is. Of course, it was vigorously disputed by John Farrell, the manager, and, of course, Buchholz. He's not going to admit to it. Who said that the first time...
actually, it's Buchholz.
Buchholz, sorry. But said the first time he's been accused of throwing a spitball, he said, loading it up with what, rosin? He goes, I get wet from my hair. He goes, and they're talking about the stains on my shirt. He said, there probably are stains on my shirt because I've been wearing the same shirt for the last 3 years.
Oh, you moron.
I'm pretty sure he washes it in between.
No, Clay Buchholz, yeah.
He says, I'm doing the same thing right now.
Just ask his mama.
He says, I'm doing the same thing right now that I did in 2008 when I was sent down to double-A ball. But I guess something's got to be wrong, right, since I'm doing so well now. Of course, he's won each of his first six starts and had an ERA of 1.01. So, Morris said he went to Farrell and told him about his suspicion, and he saw Buchholz repeatedly going to his left forearm, which he said was clearly smeared with a substance that Buchholz was rubbing on the ball. He said it was all over his forearm and all over the lower part of his T-shirt and all in his hair, Morris said. He was like, I can't prove anything.
But if it's on the video and you can see the substance, it's very
that's
clear.
The Buchholz contained is rosin that's on his arm and stuff. Now, how do you get rosin on the back of your elbow? I don't know. Usually you just in your hand.
It's a powder.
Yeah. Well, but if he sweats and then gets the rosin, I guess the dust on his arm or
but
his forearm.
But it wouldn't be shiny. It would look like mud. It's
yeah,
a powder.
Yeah, I know. That's
the
what,
powder
that's
cannot shine, even if it's mixed with sweat. This is a pitcher speaking right now, guys, who used rosin.
Well, he said there's a substance that was clearly smeared with the substance. That he was rubbing onto the ball.
Substance that was clearly smeared with a substance.
No. He said you could tell that something was smeared on his arm. He didn't say it was shiny, but he said there was clearly something on his arm that was smeared on there. And that he kept going to his arm, and I guess he had it probably on his right-hander, Buchholz?
Buchholz is a right-hander.
Okay, so that means it was on his left.
And he said he kept repeatedly going to his forearm and his elbow, repeatedly during the game.
All right, ladies and gentlemen.
So it would be this way. No, it would be on his pitching arm. He'd do this and then rub the ball. Not this way and then rub it. Well, I guess you could go either way.
That's a very odd move.
Because he said you could repeatedly see him going. He's repeatedly going to his left forearm. So he was going to this hand. So with his pitching hand, he would let's say it was whatever, Vaseline or whatever. So he would go, he'd rub it, and then immediately with the ball in his right, in his left hand, would then, so now it's loaded up. And he'd also go to his hair.
Put a little jalapeno in your nose.
It's right. You're limited.
My favorite line of that whole movie.
The mouth. Okay, guys, you are limited in what you can do on the mound, but if you're off the mound when you're doing that, you could actually do quite a bit of stuff when you're off the mound.
You can load it up while he's off the mound and then walk on.
Well, that's the way everyone does it.
That's your Gaylord theory, and then you just do the whole.
Wow. Gaylord. Hey, do we have the Gaylord Bowl again this year? No.
No, that's been taken away, remember?
Yeah.
It was about 3 years ago.
Bummer. You think it's because of all the noise we made here on Indie Media?
I think so. You accused me. You thought I was lying.
Yeah. The Gaylord Bowl.
You were like, come on, what's the real name of this? I actually had to show you. I was like, look.
You falsified those notes.
So, I mean, you would have to see the video. But
guys, here's the thing. That's why you have to play the game and you have to watch it. That's why I love watching the game and I was privileged to play it. And you can see when things are out of the ordinary. And you can pick up.
And that's exactly what Morris said. He said back in the
day. Jack Morris himself is a freaking cheater.
He said back in the day, the way he put it, I guess back when he was, I guess, just coming into the league, that would have been what, the late 80s, early 90s?
No. Late 70s, 80s.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe early 80s.
Yeah, he said during that time, he said spitballs around a lot because of Gaylord Perry and a few others that were caught constantly. He said so managers and players knew what to look for. He said the fact in the last 10.
That's incorrect, Jack Morris.
He said,
for a man who played the game, the issue back then was not spitballs. They were scuffing the ball, you freaking idiot.
Well,
they were
Gaylord
what
Perry
the ball?
Left in 1983 or 82. Jack Morris, to put this in perspective, threw a no-hitter on the second weekend in April of 1984, their championship year. Gaylord Perry was gone already, and it was just pathetic.
Jack
Morris, you're a jackass.
Well, the point that he was trying to make was that players and managers knew what to look for when there was odd things happening, say the scuffing on the ball or the possible spitball.
Happen.
But he said what it is, that no one really gets caught anymore on the major league level. He says a lot of the players and managers don't notice when things like, I guess, what Buchholz was doing, you know, repeatedly going to the forearm throughout the game. So they just, you know, don't think of that anymore because you really don't think of spitballs or
funny because I still
jumping
do.
The ball. Well, but you're older.
No, I'm not a Twitter generation where just 1 second later I'm like, oh, what did they tweet?
Yeah, exactly. So that's what he's saying. That all the younger guys don't really notice. So even if
because they're stupid.
Could be. But then, you know, on the opposing team, they don't really know, in other words, what to look for. Or notice, hey, he's going to his forearm every fourth pitch.
Guys, now that's bad management because I'll tell you this. As a coach, I coach teams, guys. And this is the first thing that you have to tell the guys is you watch the opposing players. See what they do. Learn their mannerisms. Learn the moves. Because this way, when you see what they do, you can start picking up plays when they start calling them up. Excuse me, because you can see when the player reacts differently, something's going on. And that's why you have to watch the opposing guy. Look, the best base runners in the world, do you know what they do? They sit on the fence and they just watch the pitcher. That's all they do, is they watch the pitcher.
So they can get
that extra lead and they know how to read him. It's reading the game. And if these players are not reading the game, it's so sad. I mean, right now, I still call box before the umps do. I still find the cheaters. So I have to see the video on this one, Clay Buchholz. But you have to understand, it's a Boston Red Sox guy, so that's kind of like an after
my brain. Please don't make this fair.
Why am I going to look at the Red Sox, for goodness sake? Why?
That's true.
Hi, Sonny.
I'm listening. I'm actually reading up on that, what was said.
I've not heard anything in a minute. Refresh again. And let me borrow your phone there, Big Dog. So I think it's Matt Albers who's having problems.
I don't have a password on this. No, I trust you. After all we've been through in Vegas, I trust you.
Shut up.
Thanks, man.
Oh, it's on your earpiece.
Sure.
No, it's off now.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's still turned off.
No, but it was.
I'll check.
Oh, he can hear us now.
Huh, interesting.
You're right, it was turned off. It turned on.
Yeah, it's there.
All right.
It's right there. Okay, it's good.
We're all good?
Right. Yeah, we're still live, but thanks, Matt. Thanks for listening.
I see the picture. They actually have a picture on the Twitter, the actual picture of what he's doing with his, dare I say, what he's doing with his fingers here, and but he's doing
okay.
It on his arm. So they're showing the pictures, and it's interesting. It's blatant too. I mean, by the picture that it's showing, very interesting.
Hey, Sonny, I forgot to mention, when I went to Vegas a couple the other few weeks ago.
Oh my God! There's something on there. Oh my God! It's cheating.
It's shiny.
It's shiny.
Well, he'll say it's sweat. He'll say he's sweating.
There's a rosin bag.
It's possible. I have to see his other arm though. That's the thing.
There's a rosin. Yeah.
Well, no, and that's what Morris is saying, that it's all over his shirt, whatever the substance is, because it I guess from him.
No.
Discolored. That's what he's saying.
Oh my goodness! I would actually have told the umpire to go there and see his next start, but you see, guys sweat, and that's cool. But you sweat consistently. You don't sweat on your left and not on your right. I need to see the other arm as well, because, oh my God, there's a substance there. There is a substance there. Oh my Lord.
Now, in your experience as a pitcher, and seeing the actual picture, what could that substance, would you say Vaseline or?
It could very well be Vaseline. It could be
Vagisil.
It could be a Vagisil. It could be. Yeah, thank you. It could be KY.
He just, well, what's there?
I'm sorry, Matt. Look up KY and you'll understand.
Now, see, you started it. I didn't say a word.
No, I was honest. I said, if he doesn't understand what we're talking about, look it up.
Well, he probably can't look up KY because, you know, his parents probably had the parental lock on the computer.
Now, you're an asshole.
Well, you can only go certain places, you know, so.
See, I just said look it up, Matt, and Big Dog brought in the parental stuff.
Well, because you're inferring that he wouldn't know.
I was not inferring anything.
Yes, you were.
No. Sonny Clark, was I inferring anything?
When it comes to you, scorekeeper, it you could be referring to anything.
Thank you. I love you.
I love you too, Cash Potato.
Oh, so funny.
You love it.
Dog, shut up. Shut the hell up. And ladies and gentlemen, Matt Alvarez is asking us if we do comics, and I bet the Big Dog is a little hurt, because yes, Saturday's or Wednesday's program was all about comics, and
yeah,
I was,
was
with him on, and it was good.
Yeah,
it is comic
on,
book day.
Come on, Matt, you should know by now that I'm a comic book guy. I'm the resident comic geek here.
You are the only comic geek here.
That's right. No, Tanya is. Tanya is very a comic geek also. She's a comic geek-ass.
She's a comic geek-ass, so yes. Mistress geek-ass?
But she's
Mistress
a,
geek?
She's a DC gal, so.
Oh.
But I forgave her for that, for not being a Marvel gal.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I'm gonna quote, unquote, Tanya.
Can you imagine Tanya?
I can't imagine. Do you know what she compared herself to?
It's a Supergirl uniform.
No. Do you know what she compared herself to? Mosquito bites.
Supergirl.
No, she said that she has mosquito bites. Could you believe that, Sonny?
I don't know.
And what did Roger
actually said that on there?
What was Roger's?
I see.
Oh, Roz wouldn't admit to anything.
No, Roz admitted to her side. I see.
I see. I'm going to have to go back in the archives and listen to that
one.
A big dog / priority message.
I was watching.
It was a / priority message from the president of NDB Media.
Yeah.
It was alert one, alert one. Tanya and Shy are talking boobs and butts.
Funny thing about going to the movies yesterday, as you guys know,
when your president tells you to check out a program when they're talking boobs,
I did.
You call in.
I did. As soon as I got it, when I got home, I checked my computer and I thought, so then it went on, but it was already over. Anyways, what I was going to say is, I went to the late show. I went to the 2 o'clock showing.
Yeah, whatever.
Anyways, as you guys know, movie prices are extremely expensive when you go to the movies.
Yes.
So my attitude toward this, especially when you go to the multiplex, you know, you go in, you pay your exorbitant amount of money to get just to get in the door, then you go to the snack bar, and of course it's even more exorbitant there. So when you get a large popcorn with a large soda and they give you free refills, that means they want you to stay. So that's what I do. I stay and I watch 2 or 3 movies. I don't think like that. So that's fine. So they're saying they're giving you this big old, you know, 50-gallon tub of soda with a 5-gallon drum of popcorn, and they say, oh, we're giving you free refills too. That means, you know, you can't finish that all in one showing. So that means they want you to stay for more shows.
Like one refill, or do you get unlimited refills?
Unlimited refills.
Oh my lord.
Well, no, you get one refill on the popcorn. The sodas now they have the soda machines outside, so you just keep going.
Oh, at your place? You're in Hickville.
No, I've gone to several different places. They all have it now, and they have the big old Coke one where you have about five different.
They have cherry Coke.
Yes, they have about they have like 12 different types of Coca Cola. The combination.
You can
is
add
like
flavors.
You could do. It's all touchscreen. Anyways, this is the first time it's ever happened. Not that I got caught.
Oh, they got you got caught.
Yes and no. We went in as I saw Iron Man 3 as I posted yesterday. And then I went to go see, the way the time worked out, I went to go see Olympus Has Fallen, just because I thought it might be good. So we were watching it, and we were the only ones in the theater.
Oh, that's a
my daughter.
Dick.
So the
who the hell bought tickets for this?
So the person that goes in, you know, from the movie theater, they go in and check the doors to make sure they're not open, you know, make sure no one's speaking in. And this was about maybe a half hour, maybe 45 minutes to an hour into the movie, they went, they checked the doors, and she kind of like looked up and saw just myself and my daughter there and walked out. Didn't say a word.
I know what they did.
Less than 5 minutes later, the movie stops. They completely stop the movie. They put the lights on. They put the music on. And I'm just sitting there going,
they got it.
I'm like, I think that's the way of telling us, get the hell out. So I left.
That is a kind way of saying get the hell out.
Yeah.
Well, you know why, right?
But of course,
it's because the sales generated no sales for the movie, and there were 2 people in there.
Well, yeah, exactly. They checked the seats, but I did buy from the concession stand, so I mean, I spent my money there.
What was the third movie you went to?
What's that?
So what was the third movie you went to?
That was the third movie.
No, that was the second. I didn't go to the third one. It was already in later. So I was like, yeah, okay, we'll just go home. But, of course, as I was leaving, I refilled my soda again.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, that's right. I used to do that. I used to go, and I remember this because Titanic was such a big movie, and it stayed in the movie theater for like 4 months. And
yes,
I would go see another. Yeah, I would go see a movie, and then I would walk into the Titanic showing and watch the. Usually, I got in just as the Titanic was, you know, sinking. So, yeah, that was. So I usually sat in for the rest. I've seen Titanic so many times; it's unbelievable. Yes, you want my man card? I know.
No, I watched Titanic too, Sonny. I don't want your man card. It's so good.
I actually like that movie.
I do too.
Very good movie. I love it when it cracks you half.
Yeah. Oh, I won't even.
Well, I usually
good morning,
walking.
Matt Albrecht.
I usually like walking in when Kate Winslet is, you know, posing for art.
That's I said, the boob show.
Yeah.
But I, watch my language now. Good morning, Matt.
See, there you go again. So, what do you think about Jason Mott?
No, Matt's on with us.
Hey, Matt, what's up? Matt, take yourself off of mute. There you go.
What's up?
What's up, man? How's it going?
Oh, good, good.
So, did you? What do you think about the Clay Buchholz thing? Or did you notice it? We were talking about that earlier.
No, I didn't really catch on what you guys were doing. So.
Well, we were talking about because Jack Morris is accusing Clay Buchholz of pretty much throwing a spitter, putting something on the ball, and scorekeeper was taking a look at pictures, and it looks like he does have some sort of substance on his left arm. And according to Jack Morris, there's a video of him constantly going to the left, his left arm. He's a right-hander, constantly going to his left forearm and rubbing his hand on his left forearm and then rubbing the ball. So it's interesting on that one. We'll see if he gets caught on the next one. I mean,
and there's a lot of rubbing going on here.
Yeah, if he's smart, which I don't know, this is a baseball player, so if he's smart, his very next game, he should not put anything on that arm if he is loading it up, because they're really going to be looking for it now.
And
you know what's going to be interesting is if he doesn't go to the forearm again and he loses in dramatic fashion, like say he gets blown out of the game, he gives up 5-6 runs or something, that's really going to be a telltale sign. Don't you think, scorekeeper?
Yeah. And what they did is they compared him over the years, and they have pictures, and there are other images where he is not sweating, nowhere near it.
Yeah, but
wow.
But at the same time, when were those other pictures taken? I mean, it could have been taken, you know, in April or February in a night game where it's colder than shit over there, or January, you know, December where it's cold. So he's not going to be sweating there, because it does get cold over there. I've been to Boston, you know, and of course now there's that warming trend. But anyways, so Matt, are you going to your local comic shop today or what?
Yeah, I am.
Cool.
That's what I'm gonna do.
I'm taking scorekeeper and his daughter later today, because he wants to go see a costume contest. So I gotta take him to one of the bigger places down here. I'm gonna take him to, not sure if you're familiar with Golden Apple Comics, but I'm taking him down there today.
What kind of contest? I didn't hear you. Broke up there for a second.
Since today's Free Comic Book Day, a lot of the bigger comic book shops across the U.S. The bigger and the more known ones, they also usually have costume contests where the people can go dressed up as whatever hero they want or heroine, and usually they give away prizes or trophies or whatever. So I'm pretty sure Golden Apple Comics, which is one of the biggest ones here and in the U.S., they usually have some sort of contest. So I'm going to take Scorekeeper and his daughter down there today so he can check out the superheroes in their little uniforms if he wants to see female superheroes.
Cool.
Yeah. Hey, scorekeeper.
Yeah, I want to take a look at. I want to see the live image, but it looks incredibly suspicious to me. I know what they're saying, but everyone's going to be looking at Clay Buchholz next time around. That's crazy.
Jason Mott had a Tommy John surgery. Another Tommy John surgery person.
Another Mott. Wow. Member of the tribe, ladies and gentlemen, Mott. Oh, that's funny. No, actually, that was... I'm not even going to bother explaining what I just said, but those of you who are in a certain culture know exactly what I meant by Mott. Member of the tribe, M-O-T-T.
I got it. The Cubs, they don't get what they want.
Oh, they want out!
They said
of Wrigley Field!
They leave Wrigley Field.
Did you hear about that, Sonny?
I did hear about it, and hell with them.
I agree.
The Cubs?
Yeah. You know, that's going to help them stop from losing. Why would my question would be is why would you spend more money to go lose someplace else?
I mean, the
might
renovation
as well stay right there. Everybody loves them. I mean, you want to talk? I think, and I don't mean to. I don't want to hurt scorekeepers' feelings. I think the best fans in the world are in Chicago. They pack that field every to see a bunch of losers. Wow,
that's true.
So
they're true. The thing though is you know the fact that they're willing to put in, you know, the owners are willing to put in over $500 million in upgrades.
Oh,
and pretty much all they're asking for is to be able to put those two billboards up, which they say is going to bring them in over $20 million worth of revenue because of the ads that you get to put on there.
Yeah.
You guys disagreed with me earlier, and that was fine. I had no problem with that. You know, that's what the show is all about. You know, everybody has their own opinion. Because my opinion is to hell with the guys on the top of the roof. You know, they're getting a free view, and they didn't pay anything for the longest time until the last few years. They get only 17% of their revenue that they report to the Cubs. So, you know, just because it's free and just because you've been getting it for so long doesn't mean that you have the right to it. You are on top of the roof. This is their building, and if they want to cover the building, they can. That's their right. And these guys on top of these apartment buildings across the street, they have actual stadium seating up there. They have bleacher seats and all that crap. And they sell season tickets for that for people to go up on the roof and watch the games from there. You know, they've been getting it for free for decades now. And the fact that these guys want to put over half a billion dollars, that's B, not million, half a billion dollars worth of improvements on their field. And if it blocks the view, so be it. You don't have the right to say, oh, you can't block my view.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. Just as much as they've been, you know, they don't have a right to complain about it. That's it, because it blocks their view. They don't have a right, you know. I will say this. The Cubs asking for revenue money for them for have seating. Do they ask them for that?
That was part of a contract that was made up by the previous owners. These new owners want really nothing to do with these guys in the apartment building, but they are honoring the contract that was signed. And evidently, that contract, I believe, is up either this year or next. And that's why they want to do these improvements. And they say that it will not block the view, but it might be somewhat obstructed because of the way that the scoreboard is going to be. They want to put one in right and one in left, and I guess the one in right field is the one that everybody's complaining about. So, and they say it's not going to be as big as most other stadium signs, but it will be a decent. It's supposed to be a 6,000 square foot video screen over left field. Excuse me. And of course, they are the second oldest ballpark other than Fenway, I believe.
Fenway opened in 50 years today, and 100 years this year, isn't it?
Last year. Their Fenway Park is the oldest, and they are at about 92 or 93 years right now for Chicago. So the fact that
they're 1908.
The fact that the Ricketts want to put in over like I said, over half a billion dollars, and all they're asking for, they're not even asking, they're telling everybody, they're putting up a scoreboard because, you know, that's going to bring in at least $20 to $25 million in every year that they're losing out on. So, you know, and like I said, you were about to say something, though, when I said, you know, about...
Well, Sonny, isn't there something, and Matt, back me up on this, isn't the park a registered landmark or something? And if it is a registered landmark, they're going to have a lot of difficulty getting it
with
updated.
The city. And the city has already agreed to this, though. The city has already agreed because they're not using any city funds. They say, we will, out of our own pocket, we will upgrade this historical landmark out of our own pocket at the cost of over half a billion dollars. We will do it out of our pocket. This is so we can get the revenue and it will help us make this money fast.
So who's funding?
The rooftop owners.
Oh, screw them.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The
rooftop. Their contract is up. Screw them.
Well, frankly, there shouldn't be a contract. I think it's unfair to the owners. You know, that's their building.
That's
their building.
Owners, the previous owners went after them
and saying, you cannot charge for this product. It is our product. And if you think about it, under ownership issues, you cannot charge for someone else's product.
And they do.
And they do. So they went after them, and they came out to an agreement. And that's why they have the agreement that they have placed.
And it's a crappy agreement. The Cubs only get 17% of whatever they charge. And evidently, it's tens of thousands of dollars.
It is. It's a lot because they're good views.
Yeah. I mean, to only get 17%, that was a lousy negotiator.
They're not paying for insurance. They're not required anything. There's a lot of things. So they're just getting 17% off the top. That's the thing.
Oh, what's reported.
Well,
I think
that's a crap excuse anyway. You know, you could do whatever you want. That's like if you got a great view of the horizon, what are you going to have to do? Pay the government because you got a great view of the horizon? That's crap. I'm sorry. I don't know if it's law or whatever it is, but you know what? If you have an open stadium, you leave it open for anybody. If you want to charge for people to go in there, do it. I think that's crap. I think the owners of the buildings are getting screwed out of 17%.
Well, here's the bigger problem with baseball, though. Is that all these teams, if you've noticed in the last 3-4 years, well, we're having problems with our stadium, and we want a new one. We want out of our contract, and we want to leave. And I'm like, why? Just, you know, remodel part of the building or remodel the whole building. You can do it after the season's over.
And you can save a lot of money.
Well,
yeah,
I mean, look what's happening with the Oakland A's. The Oakland A's are trying to go to San Jose, California, even though the Giants already said that, well, we have territorial rights over here. And then to further, you know, make everybody else even more angry, the mayor of San Jose, California, actually called Bud Selig and said, I want a meeting. This was 2 weeks ago. He said, I want a meeting. I want to bring the A's to San Jose with the Giants, even though the Giants already said that they have territorial rights here. I can do something about this because he mistakenly thought that I'm the mayor of this big city. I can get anybody to listen to me. But because he had a big, you know, egomaniacal attitude about it, he called Bud Selig 2 weeks ago, and, well, he didn't really get that far in the conversation because Bud Selig didn't like his attitude, and he hung up on him. He hung up on the mayor of San Jose, California.
That's a good one. Because it's San Jose. It would have been, you know, Los Angeles. They would have paid attention.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, yeah, you're right. I mean, lots of teams are trying to get out of their contracts to get bigger and better stadiums. The only problem is the reason why most of those guys are trying to do that is because they keep asking the city and or the state for financial help. You know, and that's what makes this one unique in Chicago is because the Ricketts are not asking for any public funds. They're trying to do this. They're going to be doing this on their own in exchange for two billboards to bring in revenue to help offset their money that they're spending. So that's what makes this one unique is they're saying, you know, we're going to upgrade it. We don't want any public funds from you guys, but we're going to put up, you know, to do this so that we stay here. We're going to put up a couple of billboards so we can get some money, start getting some money in every year. So I don't blame the Cubs. I mean, the Ricketts spend way.
That's their right. I like that idea. If they don't like the fact that people are looking in on their game and stuff like that. But here's the thing. If they're actually charging money for those seats and, you know, on top of it, they can't restore it now. Well, the contract's up. I guess they can. So they can do whatever they want. Yeah.
Well, and as I said, even if the contract isn't up, according to, I guess, an impact report that the Chicago Cubs had made or had done, they say there will be no, that it will not obscure the viewing from the rooftops. So, I don't know, you know, but I'm pretty sure you pay enough money to anybody, you can get them to say anything, so.
That's true.
And have the paperwork to back it up. But anyway.
Doctored or not.
Yeah. All right. Anything you want to talk about? Baseball scorekeeper? Mr. Hanny Ramirez is hurt again.
Yeah, he came back and he's out again.
Isn't that great? I get knocked down, but I get up again, only so I can accept my...
So you get knocked down again.
Yeah, so...
Oh, hey, scorekeeper,
hey.
Big dog. I don't know if the big dog saw this, okay? But Andrew Bynum doing the salsa in Mexico. Did you see that?
No, I did not.
He was doing the salsa in Mexico. Now, folks that don't know the background of this is Andrew Bynum hasn't even played a game this year, but he's out there doing the salsa. I mean, I forget what injury it is, but evidently has to do with whether or not he can run. But, hell, he's doing the salsa. He's actually not doing it half bad either. There's video on it. You can take a look at it.
Oh, my goodness. And I thought he couldn't.
You know, he's an idiot. Because this is not going to help his case.
Reputation.
For his free agency when he becomes a free agent on July 1st.
He's
taking
it, and he got caught.
Yeah, he's an idiot. It's just like saying, excuse me, when you're at your job and you say you have an injury and you can't work because it's injured, we get to get pictures of you dancing away. You know, salsa dancing. Yeah, it's not very strenuous. But the thing is, you do have to move your hips and your knees. So the fact that he says he has bad knees and that's why he can't run up and down or even walk. You know, without pain, and the fact that he's doing salsa dancing, he's an idiot.
Yeah, it's funny.
But of course,
when I saw it, I was sitting here thinking to myself, you know, that's perfect. The insurance, I don't know, for Andrew Bynum, and I don't know how NBA contracts work, and I'm sure Big Dog will fill me in. If they're paying him underneath an insurance policy because he hasn't played all year long, that will be interesting to see what
that's
will
incredible.
End up happening about that.
Yep. The Philadelphia 76ers will most likely be talking to their insurance company about this. I'm pretty sure they already know about it. So I'm pretty sure there's someone somewhere that's looking in on this. And Bynum's agent could be calling Bynum and telling him, you know, you're an idiot. You could have waited just two more months. Or be inside somewhere where they're not taking pictures of you, idiot.
Yeah,
actually,
video.
Wherever you
could. Well, he had a house party or something. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, he's an idiot. I mean, as it is, you know.
This is consistent with what he does,
that is
though.
True. That is
he
true.
Did it the year before. He did it the year before then when he went to the World Cup.
Well, yeah. No, what I was going to say is when he went and had that surgery and he was the Playboy Mansion. Remember that?
Yeah.
They had pictures of him with the Playboy Bunny on his shoulders, you know. So, yeah, he's an idiot. But this time it's going to cost him because he was already under contract with the Lakers.
Yep.
Whereas now he's going to be a free agent. And as it is, he's trying to get a max deal, which he's not going to get a max deal. As I said,
jeez,
the potential
any
is there.
Any team pays that guy max deal needs to get their head examined.
Well, you know what? I mean, if I was a team, I would take a chance on him, but I would only sign him to a one, maybe two-year contract for about $8 to $9 million a year. I wouldn't pay him over that, but I would have it laced with all kinds of incentives or guarantees saying, okay, you know what, we're going to pay you a base salary of X amount. If you can play 40 games, which is about half a season, just shy of half a season, you know, then we'll give you this much of a kicker. If you can play 60 games, it's
yep.
this much of a kicker. You know, make it incentive lace where he's got to play. He's got to be on the court. Of course, he probably won't go for that because
you got to work.
He knows how bad his knees are. And as I said before, you know, even when he was a Laker, having a man this young, I mean, yes, he's full of talent, full of potential, but the problem is he's got bad knees. And the fact that he's had two knee surgeries already at the tender age of only 25,
yep,
does not bode well for any team that wants to keep him long term, you know.
You know who that reminds me of, scorekeeper or Big Dog,
Bowie.
No, well, no, Stoudemire from the Knicks. If you remember,
yes.
Stoudemire for the Suns, that guy barely played. And when they were making trades and moving players around, they traded away. Oh, geez, the player he played for Dallas here this past year. They traded him away. The Matrix. They traded him away. Yeah. I was like, no, trade away Stoudemire. The guy's an injury waiting to happen every single year. And sure enough, 3 years after they traded the Matrix, he was hurt in the Phoenix Suns and he couldn't play. And then he goes to the Knicks, and he's hurt every year for the Knicks. But I'll give him this. At least he manned up this year, and he's playing in the playoffs, I guess. So, I'll give him that. But, man, oh, man, the knee problems that he has, it reminds me of Stoudemire, a career just full of knee injuries. It's got that's a tough check to write each and every month.
Yes, it is, like with Bynum. Bynum was, I believe he made 14 and a half or $15 million this year for not playing one single second on the court.
Man, that's a tough check to write. Now, and I get where in NFL and their contracts, how they got those.
Yeah.
They could just dump a Bynum and not have to pay that contract. I see both sides of it when it comes to that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I can see that. And I love scorekeeper's philosophy. If he was a GM or he could run a sports franchise where everybody gets a base salary of $1 million and you just incentive lace it like crazy, where it could be worth up to $25-30 million a year.
I'd be more than happy to pay them that.
If you hit all your marks. And you specialize it to the player, because, I mean, there are players out there that aren't going to be hitting 40, 50 home runs, but they have gold glove hands, so you can specialize the contract to whatever player you need.
In Major League Baseball, they're against those sort of incentive clauses because they say it's not proper and you shouldn't do that. But there are incentive clauses that exist. If a pitcher pitches so many innings, he gets this.
Yep.
If he pitches so many innings, if he makes so many starts, if he makes so many things, and because it can get dirty, especially near the end. If you're close and the manager sits you down, it becomes huge money fight.
A la Connie Mack in the day?
Oh, my God, yeah. Well, just remember the Black Sox.
That's why the Players Association, they're not going to go for that kind of, I think it's
baseball.
Innovative thinking there, scorekeeper. But that's why it's never going to happen, because the Players Association would raise so much fuss over it, that would never pass. That would be kind of interesting to see a team to actually do that in baseball and say, hey, everybody gets paid $1 million. What you do on the field, we'll pay you the incentives of what you're doing on the field. Now, here's the thing. As far as that would be concerned, if I'm a guy who is a regular player and you're out of the playoffs and you're capable of playing and they want to bring up this young buck, they can't be penalized for that if they're capable of playing. There would have to be so much language in that contract to make sure that the players who are healthy and who are playing and playing well to be able to cover that. But that would be kind of cool. I like that, scorekeeper.
You see, most people are against it, guys. But that's why I've said you match it with the productivity of what the player is doing. And what I mean is, for every strikeout, deal with it. That's a minus. I don't give a damn what you say. It's a minus. You strike out with nobody on or bases loaded, it's a strikeout. And here's the thing. If you strike out with a runner on, that's 2 points against you. If you strike out with three guys on, that's 3 points against you because you blew an opportunity. But along the lines, if you get a single and three runs come in, that's three. That's a plus. If you advance a runner, that's a plus. I mean, there are so many ways you do the positive thing, and these guys can make huge gobs of money. Guys like Mark Reynolds, Adam Dunn, they would be out of this league quicker than you can say, oh, Andrea, don't defend these guys.
By the way, just to let you know, your Blog Talk Radio problems that we are having affected Friday's show. This past Friday, yesterday, and the week before, and the Monday 5 days ago. Just to let you know, I haven't been able to even call into Blog Talk Radio, so. Just to let you know, we have actually been wanting to do shows, but haven't been able to get Blog Talk Radio to work, just to let you know.
I appreciate it. I want to welcome Jim in the chat room. Thanks for joining us.
we are railing on Blog Talk Radio, but we'll just move on now. Yeah, Jim's in the chat room. Don't you see him? Well, he's in there. I know he's in there.
Jim is so cool.
It's Matt Alvarez that disappeared in the chat room, but actually Matt is online.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, so it's okay, Matt. I'll forgive you, but that's all right.
So I see Justin, not Jim.
Whatever. Let's just move forward.
Yep. Well, since he mentioned Bynum, we'll segue into
Allen Iverson
basketball.
Allen Iverson.
Now, of course, the biggest news coming out was Monday morning, and as I told a lot of my friends. Sunday, of course.
Clippers are going to lose.
No, the Lakers, of course, were swept out. You know, they were greatly undermanned with all the injuries that they had. They were missing six of their top nine rotation players. So they were only actually playing three of the regular rotation guys. Everyone else was back-of-the-bench type guys. Anyway, so be it. You know, we take a loss, I take a loss. We lost. That's it. We didn't have the guns to go out there and beat the Spurs. But as I talked about it Monday morning, I told all my friends, Dwight Howard should send a gift basket to Mr. Jason Collins because Dwight got, of course, kicked out in the beginnings of the third quarter.
Oh, yes.
And everybody was saying, you know, everybody talked about it, saying he quit, he did this, he did that.
Yes, he did.
Extremely angry. I understand why he got angry because he was being jostled around and not getting the call. But you know what? Man up. Take your glumps. Shaq didn't complain. Wilt didn't complain. Kareem didn't complain. They just went out there and did their job. Dwight's got to learn that. He's not going to get every single call. We know that. Dwight is probably more athletic than any of those centers that are out there. You see, he's just a physical specimen. And everybody takes their shots at him, just like Shaq. They beat the crap out of Shaq.
That's
a
Shaq.
That was a philosophy so that because it was bad free throws. But he got beat up, I mean, on the block every single time. And Dwight's got to learn that. But anyways, I was waiting because Monday I knew everybody was going to be locked and loaded to go for Dwight.
He left out.
Jason Collins, of course, came out of the closet on Monday with a Sports Illustrated story that came out on Tuesday, the following day, but then he came out that he is openly gay. And, you know, I commend them for that. And they were talking about basketball was probably one of the sports that you would figure that would be the first one to come out because this is what they were saying, because of the maturity in the locker room. versus baseball's maturity and the antics that go on in football locker rooms. But anyways,
the maturity of the basketball locker room.
That,
I mean,
that's classic.
That take guns to the locker room because they don't pay their debts, they shoot each other. Well, come on.
As you
that's
know, both
classic.
Of them,
and they're not the only ones that carry guns.
Wow. Yeah,
guns in the locker room. Yeah. Now, whether the other ones would have
been.
Anyways, Jason Collins.
Spanish cousin.
You see, so now we know Matt does speak Spanish.
Jason Collins came
I know what that word is.
The funny thing is, I mean, everybody's making such a big thing about it, which is fine to do. The only thing is that they keep saying, and Stephen A. Smith did catch this, and I will give him credit on that one. You know, they were saying he's the first openly gay player to come out while he's playing, you know, in a major sport. The problem is he's not.
Yeah.
He's not playing because he is now an unrestricted free agent. He does not have a team, and he came out after his team. Of course, did not make the playoffs because he played for the Washington Wizards. So, yes, he came out, but the fact is he's not the first player yet because he's not playing. He could be like those other players that have retired, and the year after they retire, they come out and say, hey, I was gay while I was playing. So, he is and he isn't. I mean, he came out, he is still able to play the game, but whether or
38, right?
He's 34.
Oh,
but whether or not he actually gets a job next year is another story. Now, he's not a superstar. He's not a star. He is a bench player.
I thought he was a banger.
He's a very good role player. He's a very good role player, and he may, based on his skills, may get a job with the team. The thing is, though, he only averaged about 8 minutes a game this year, only had like a couple of rebounds and maybe 3 points a game that he averaged. So not great stats. He is a 10, 11, or 12 guy on the bench. So the fact that he's 34 and an end of the bench player, he may not get a job next year. Now, then he just becomes another guy that came out after his playing days are over. So there's still a openly gay player still playing the game.
Hey,
way to go.
Conspiracy Couch. Hey, let me tell you something. There's two things up on this, okay? First of all, very selfish for him to come out and do this while they're in the middle of a playoffs, okay? The distraction that it caused, that's a problem. I don't have a problem with gay people. I love gay people. I don't mind them at all. But this was a very selfish time for him to be coming out here and doing this. That's number one, causing the off-the-court, problems and attention didn't need to happen there. Number two, Conspiracy Couch says he's doing this on purpose. If he doesn't get a job next year, if he doesn't get a position next year, he's gonna sue. You watch. This will end up happening. He's gonna say, "Well, they didn't give me a position because I'm gay." I swear that's what's gonna happen. Now that's the only thing that I have a problem with. As far I don't care that he's gay. Matter of fact, hey, if that's what floats your boat, go for it. But here's the thing. Don't take that and try to manipulate yourself for a position next year on a basketball team when you're not all that great in the first place.
Sonny, I agree with you on everything, and I like that because I was thinking about that. But when you say don't manipulate it for your own gain, Sonny, you and I have talked about this when other players say, "I'm going to go where God guides me to for this major contract." He's manipulating the audiences as well, Sonny.
Yep,
absolutely. I'm going to give this guy props. I'm definitely going to give this guy props on this one for actually taking initiative. But, hey, it is what it is. And being a man of the South, I just wonder what Brian would actually have to say on this. So, caller from the 205 area code, you're in.
Bri. He can't
talk. I apologize, Brian.
Hello?
Caller from 205,
hello?
You're in. Yes?
Hey, it's Brian.
Oh, it is Brian. Oh. What's up, caller from the 205 area code?
Well, let me say this. I mean, if Kobe Bryant had to come out, it'd be different. But when you're averaging 2 points a game, who gives a damn who you sleep with at night? That's my thought. Second of all, he's not going to get picked up, and it's not. And he's going to use this to write a book and to be, the martyr for gay people, guys. He'll write a book and get a book deal out of this. The guy
absolutely
can't play basketball. Come on. I watched him play over his life. Hell, I score more than he does right now if I wanted to in the NBA. He sucks.
I've scored with women more than he has.
Yeah.
So, hey, all right.
But here's the deal, guys. If you're gay and you've been gay this long, don't you think your twin brother or fiance of however 8 years, whatever he dated her, would have known that? I mean, how many times do you think they had sex? Gay people don't bang girls on a daily basis, guy. So I don't even think he's gay, to tell you the truth.
Wow.
Brian, I'm actually not going to touch that part of it because there's...
I will. I'll touch it because it's the truth. This guy is not gay.
Mark that down. Mark that time down.
Okay.
That was classic.
I'll just finish my thought here. Unfortunately, I do represent the NBD Media name, so I'm going to just go this way. Look, I do agree with you, Cash Potato. This is a great move for him to secure money for next year. I think
absolutely.
That is really absolutely brilliant that he's going to be able to say, well, no one wants me because I came out of the closet. The funniest thing was that the fiancé was, huh? And the brother, and his twin brother also said, that's why I like it. I'm not going to talk about anything else because I'm just not, but the whole conspiracy thing, that's pretty shrewd. I'm like, wow. And I would have told everyone to begin with, hey, this is money, kids. This is what we're going to do.
Yeah, now I love to. Charles Barkley talked about this, and I love what he had to say. Charles Barkley,
in his old age, is pretty cool.
Yeah, Charles Barkley, he's starting to become one of, a great guy to listen to. But Barkley was talking about it, saying, I don't care. He's like, he's all, I woke up yesterday morning. He's all, I didn't care who Jason Collins slept with at night.
He's on, I'm going to go to bed tonight. He goes, I don't care who Jason Collins is tonight either. He's on out that he's supposedly comfortable in his own skin now, that he said he's been lying to himself all these years.
Yeah.
He's all, but he's all, what he does off the court, you know, is his own business. And I love what Charles had to say. He's all, in my playing days, and he put Kenny in there, Kenny Smith,
yep,
and also was on there. He's all, you guys all know. He's all, I'm not going to say any names or anything. He goes, but you guys all know, while we were playing in the NBA, we played with a lot of gay guys. He goes, you guys know it, and I know it. And they all nodded
yeah.
their heads. It,
wow.
So they all know. And, you know, it's kind of, you know, I like the way, that's what they were talking about, the maturity of the locker room, saying, you know, these guys know what you're doing off the court, but the fact that you come off and you play the game, and then you do what you want off the court. You know, some guys go home. Some guys go and go party all night long. Some guys go try and bang every girl that's possible. And there's some guys that go out and try and bang every guy that's possible. They really don't care. As long as you can.
Ladies and gentlemen, we can't say the word bang up. All right, I do apologize. I'm sorry.
So, you know, and what Charles Barkley had to say about that, you know, saying that he doesn't care what is done off the court. As long as you can perform on the court, that's all that matters. And I think that's what players care about. I mean, there are a few players. I mean, Larry Johnson, Grandmama, came out saying that he said if he knew of any gay players, that he would feel extremely uncomfortable in the locker room. And you know what? That's what Kenny Smith had to say also. Don't persecute these guys for not being happy that he came out. You know what he said? They're entitled to their opinion also, saying, hey, I'm not comfortable with him being gay in the locker room. They have just as much right to say they're not comfortable with it as Jason Collins said to come out and say, I'm gay. So don't persecute the guy to say, I don't agree with it, you know, but they do. You know, you're immediately a villain if you don't agree with Jason Collins.
No, you are a bigot.
Yes, if you don't agree. Now,
and if you actually look at the word bigot.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, come on, kid. Look it up and use it correctly.
So, you know, and you know, there are guys out there that didn't agree. You know, there were a few out there. There was a couple of football players, Mike Wallace and Alfonso Smith. You know, and they wrote, you know, about not understanding how a man could be gay with all these beautiful women that are throwing themselves at you in a professional sport. You know, and they were vilified for saying that. You know, and they're entitled to their opinion. They're not saying, oh, being gay is bad. They never said that. They're just saying, hey, I don't understand the fact. Look at all these women throwing themselves at me. You know, how can you be gay? How can you go after another guy when all these women are, you know, and they're entitled to their opinion. So, I don't know.
I get their opinion, big dog, but, yeah, I see what they're saying, you know, but to each his own, man. That's just, you know, if you don't like that, you don't like it. But, you know, I don't understand that part of it either. And but hey, to each his own. If that's what they want to do, go for it.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, for anyone who gives an opinion and to be labeled a bigot is stupid by the person calling them, because the actual word itself. I'm sorry. Yeah, we have 2 minutes left. Amazing.
2 minutes.
So, wait a minute. Do you want to continue, Big Dog? Okay, I got to set up an episode right now, guys. Bear with me.
Can you say it? Can you say it?
No, I can't extend. Oh. I got to start up another episode. Yeah, I can do it. We got 2 minutes. We're going to create another episode right now.
Go for it. We'll keep talking.
I got to do this fast.
Well, like I said, with Jason Collins, I mean, it's great, but, you know, I agree with Sonny. You know, the timing was a little bit,
you know,
he could have waited until after the playoffs were over to then come out. Yeah,
yep.
You know, but at the same time, maybe he got with his agent. His agent said, you know what, the timing's perfect because it's the playoffs. Everybody's watching the playoffs. So, you know, let's break this now, and let's, you know, just on the media attention on alone will get you, you know, everything you need. Maybe there is a book deal in the works. You never know. And you're right. It does set up for the fact that if he doesn't get hired next year, you know, that could be an excuse.
Yep.
You know, but like Brian said, you know, the guy only scores, you know, his career average. Here we go. I have his career average. His career average is 3.6 points and 3.8 rebounds a game.
Please forgive me. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have to end the program right now and continue in just a few seconds.
We have got about 40 seconds. We already set up. So stay with us in the chat room. You're going to have to refresh at the hour mark, but we're going to continue Sports Talk with the guys, home of the Monday Morning Quarterbacks on Saturday. We're going to ask you guys to go ahead and just call back in about 30 seconds. We are ending the episode now. Thank you, and join us in part two. Stay in the chat room. We'll be right back.
Okay.